translation. Although flowering plants like the mandara, kunda, kudabaka, utpala, champaka, arna, punaga, naga keshara, bakula, lily, and parijata are full of transcendental fragrance, they are still conscious of the austerities performed by Tulasi. For Tulasi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with Tulasi leaves. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The importance of Tulasi leaves is very clearly mentioned here. Tulasi plants and their leaves are very important in devotional service. Devotees are recommended to water the Tulasi tree every day and collect the leaves to worship the Lord. One time, an atheistic Swami remarked, "What is the use of watering the Tulasi plant? It is better to water eggplant. By watering the eggplant, one can get some fruits. But what is the use of watering the Tulasi?" These foolish creatures, unacquainted with devotional service, sometimes play havoc with the education of people in general. The most important thing about the spiritual world is that there is no envy among the devotees there. This is true even among the flowers, which are all conscious of the greatness of Tulasi. In the Vaikuntha world, entered by the four Kumaras, even the birds and flowers are conscious of service to the Lord. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Jinan Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Ambalitamina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So in these verses, we are taken, we're given the opportunity of perceiving, looking into Vaikuntha. The title of this chapter is called Description of the Kingdom of God. So what is being described here, it's not a place on earth. It's not a place in the heavenly planets. It's not a description of even another universe. It is a description of the place beyond all material universes. It is the description of where God himself resides, where Narayan resides, where Krishna resides. We should know what's happening there. If we're trying to go somewhere, we have to know where is it that we're going to go. If somebody walked in here now and said, "Come with me," the first question is, well, where are we going to go? Where are you taking me to? We don't want to go somewhere that we're not familiar with, or we're going to be happy with it. So it's very important that we know what happens in Vaikuntha, what happened there, and otherwise, why would we go there? We don't want to have a surprise. So somehow or other, these super elevated people, these great devotees of the Lord, have been able to go there to visit Vaikuntha, which is extraordinary because they're inhabitants of this universe. Although they're very elevated, they are the sons of Lord Brahma, still they have this transcendental ability to go to Vaikuntha. And they're seeing it. And they're seeing it, and then the great devotees have recorded what they have seen. So now we are given the opportunity to look into a window, a television, into Vaikuntha to see what they are seeing, to see the very same Vaikuntha. And we also have the ability to hear the sounds of Vaikuntha and smell the smells of Vaikuntha from a purified state. So these verses are very important to meditate on them and to experience Vaikuntha into our, in whatever ability we can. Yesterday the devotee was talking about this Vaikuntha consciousness, Vaikuntha mind. So we have the opportunity of experiencing some of those things that are experienced all the time by the residents of Vaikuntha. I want to go back a little bit to kind of give further context to this verse. And we're hearing about Vaikuntha. And one of the people who live there have Vaikuntha Murtiya. They have a form that's suitable to Vaikuntha. For example, here we are in England now, and we all have bodies that allow us to live here in different variety. Look, we all have very different varieties of bodies, but we all have a body suitable to reside here on earth. If we were a fish, we'd have a lot of problems. You need a certain body to live in certain places. So to live in Vaikuntha, you need a form that is suitable to Vaikuntha. So we're hearing that there, you could say, human-like forms in Vaikuntha have the same features as Lord Narayan. They have four arms. They have beautiful clothing. They're exquisite. There's male forms and there's female forms. And now we're hearing about these other verses talking about other Vaikuntha Murtis that are not human-like. They're animals and birds. And now we're even hearing about flowers and plants that also have a Vaikuntha Murti. They're also equally endowed with a body that enables them to be ecstatic in Vaikuntha. The residents in Vaikuntha, Animita, there's no reason for them to do anything. It's groundless. It's without a motive. Why do we do something? What is our motion? What is our motive for going somewhere or doing something? Generally, embodied beings have a sense gratificatory motive. We want to experience something to enjoy ourselves. But these Vaikuntha Basis, they don't have that impetus. They're not trying to enjoy themselves. It's cause it. There's no reason for them to do anything. They're not motivated by personal sense enjoyment. And that's what causes it. What causes them to do what they're doing is because there's no cause to it. It's kind of extraordinary. What does that mean? There's something else that's driving it. And the word dharma is there. They have dharma is something which you cannot take away from something. So, for example, as males, we have certain dharma. As females, there's certain dharma. As brahmanas, there's certain dharma. Everyone's got a certain duty and an activity that urges them on to do certain things. So in the Vaikuntha residence, they also have a dharma. It's a dharma to be a Vaikuntha Basi. And that drives them on to do various things. And we're reading that they go places. Oh, so another point is very important here, is that the whole mood is aradayam. This word rad is there. Sometimes they say, why is Radharani not mentioned in the Bhagavatam? Well, here she's mentioned in the third, you could say, she's kind of, there's inference there. Radha is there. Her name's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And it means continually worshipping. Deep reverence, worship or adoration. Radha means near towards Radha. So aradhana means you're doing something that's taking you closer to perfection, closer to Radharani, or in this case, closer to Lord Narayan, closer to Vishnu. And the whole mood is absorbed in this worshipful, worshipful mood, that whatever one's doing, it's driven by that desire to worship the Lord. And it doesn't mean staticness. It means ecstaticness. It means motion, movement, variety. We heard one of these poor folks was talking about variegatedness. It's not boring in the spiritual world. There's motion. We're hearing about that they're moving. The residents are they're moving from place to place. So what does that mean? Why are they going from place to place? What's driving them to go from place to place? And we may think, well, we can experience that a little bit in our own spiritual life. Sometimes devotees, they decide to go, okay, I'm going to go on Radhadesh Mellows, for example. What is the driving force to go to Radhadesh Mellows? Because the devotees want to sit there and be absorbed in beautiful kirtan and absorb themselves in the chanting of the Lord's holy name. So it's not a material aspiration. There's no, they're not going there to enjoy their senses. There's obviously material things to take care of your body, but it's about trying to find that deep absorption in the Supreme Lord. So this is the atmosphere of Vaikuntha. And the Lord is there also. You're not alone. He's present everywhere. In fact, your body looks like his. You're not feeling your body's, there's nothing, there's no inebrities in your body. You're fully satisfied with it because your body isn't on par with that of the Supreme Lord. And you're feeling you're not alone because you're one of his people. You're never alone there because you're recognized that Svanam of his own associates, that you are one of his people. And that gives a constant sense of satisfaction. And there is mridayan, it's increasing happiness. Imagine going to a place for eternity where the happiness was static. It's like going on a holiday and you're never going to leave. Eventually it becomes painful. It becomes painful. But in Vaikuntha, it's never going to be painful because the next moment, the next day, you experience that same thing and it's as fresh as though you experienced it for the first time. It's ever increasing. And you're in the most beautiful company. And you're in the family of God, the family of Vishnu. You are one of his people and you feel like you're one of his people. And therefore, you're always, always happy. And things are always changing. We hear that in that planet, in number 16, he was talking about those forests, that there's trees there. And they're desire trees. You can desire something. And whatever you want will be produced. You can imagine that they don't have to have agriculture in Vaikuntha. Because whatever you need, you can get from a tree. You don't have to grow any food because the food is there from a tree. And then we heard that number 17, that the residents, that they were flying in airplanes. They weren't just elevating and moving by, they had vehicles. And again, beautiful. We like to travel in airplanes. It's interesting that Lord Brahma, he travels in a swan airplane. And other demigods have other modes of transport. Is it Ganesh? Is it a rat? Anyway, so it's an interesting mode of transport. So here in the Vaikuntha world, the residents there, they can travel from place to place in exquisitely beautiful vehicles. And they're also, there's male forms and female forms. And they're singing. The activities are singing. For example, today we had a kirtan, beautiful kirtan. Everyone dancing enthusiastically. People are feeling great ecstasy. We're the kirtan yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. So even though the kirtan is repetitive, every day feels like a fresh adventure into an experience with Krishna. So the same thing is there in the Vaikuntha world. They're singing. And it's all auspicious. There's nothing, it's devoid of, there's nothing inauspicious there. And the people are so happy, they're very beautiful. The glorification of the Lord is so satisfying for them that even though the flowers are very beautiful and scented, they don't care about those things. They're more happier to glorify the Lord. In the previous verse of this one, we were hearing about the birds and the bees. There's all these beautiful birds, and they sing very melodiously. But when they hear the bee, the king of the bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, they just stop. They stop their own sound just to hear the bee glorify the Lord. And now we're here on this verse, we're hearing about these plants, these flowers, these trees, and they're conscious. They're fully aware. They're not in ignorance. Normally, the plants that we're used to, they're in ignorance. But here, these plants are fully conscious. And it's interesting that these plants exist here on earth, but they may not be the same conscious. The mandara, is called Gudhal in Hindi, or Dasavala in Canada. It is Hibiscus rosa sinensis. It's got a large trumpet-shaped flowers, and it's commonly red. So somehow or other, these plants are flowers that we can see here. They're also there in Vaikuntha. The kumbha is Jasmine multiflorum, star jasmine. It's a white flower. Kudaba is a species of amaranth. If ever you go to Holland Farm or where we grow the vegetables, sometimes they grow a lot of amaranth. It's got like a red stem. It's got beautiful red flowers. It's two different flavor colors. So this is a species of amaranth. Utpala and means sacred blue lotus. Pala means a water lily. Champak. Magnolia champaka, a fragrant flowers. Wood is used for woodworking. It's got a yellow, white edge, yellow heart. In South Africa, my wife and I were in South Africa recently, and they had a lot of champak flowers there. So the flower's quite firm. It's got a little yellow heart. Arna, not sure what arna is. It's called something. Maybe since it's called arnica mentana. Ikopanas ban, not sure what that particular flower is. And even here, the translator put on a flower, he may not also be sure what it is. Punaga, Chalophyllum inophyllum, highly fragrant, white, small flower, called a sultan champa. It's got a medicinal oil, and Ayurvedic is good for skin diseases. An evergreen tree that grows 20 meters high. Naga is called Nagalinga Pushpa. It looks like a Shiva Lingam. And it's got flowers of 3 to 5 inches. It's pink and dark red. Bakula is the flowers. It's creamy and hairy, heavenly scented, and the tree may reach 9 or 18 meters high. Ambuja is a water lily. Ambuja means it's born in water. The lotus flower. And then Parijat, Nyctanthus arbor tristis, night flowering jasmine. So, why give a big list? Why give a list of these flowers? Well, one thing is that we're hearing about the residents of Vaikuntha. These are not just flowers. These are Vaikuntha flowers. And by hearing about them, you're hearing about someone that resides in Vaikuntha. So it's purifying. And by Krishna's mercy, we can see these flowers on earth, an earthly form of these flowers. So we could say that by seeing these flowers on earth, you can use that as a key to remember Vaikuntha. This flower is also in Vaikuntha. And what they're pointing out is, although they're beautiful, although they have exquisite scents, there's still another flower that is even more exquisite, and that is Tulsi. So although they have beautiful scent, they recognize that Tulsi is even more special. Yesterday, the devotee who gave class, he picked out this point from this verse, and he talked about how he went on this statement that Prabhupada says that the most important thing about the spiritual is that there's no envy among the devotees there. This is true even among the flowers, which are all conscious of the greatness of Tulsi. So these flowers, they're fully aware that they smell beautiful. They're not ignorant. They're not just sitting there oozing scent and not knowing about it. They know how beautiful they are. They know how exquisite their scent is. But they defer. They recognize that Tulsi is even more special. Srila Prabhupada says that, there's many references, that Tulsi is a pure devotee, and it's treated in the same way as other pure devotees. You treat her in the same way as pure devotees. She's very important to us. In fact, if you were to look at the altar, you'll see Tulsi in many places. Where will you see her? She's either side of the altar. She's decorating the altar. She's an evergreen plant. Well, not evergreen. She is evergreen. She grows. She's got green foliage all year round. She also has flowers. Generally, they pick them, so you don't often see them so much on the plants because they're picked and used. So they decorated the altar, Tulsi. So, and of all flowers, you always find Tulsi in a installed deity temple. You don't find necessarily these other flowers. They may or may not be there, but you'll always find Tulsi. Where else would you find Tulsi? Yes, if you look at the deities, Radharani is giving blessings, and she has a leaf there, Tulsi leaf, that she's offering to Krishna. And on Krishna's feet, both feet, you find Tulsi leaves. You find Tulsi leaves on Gaur Nitai, on little Krishna, on Ram and Lakshman. And again, Sita, she also has a Tulsi on her hand to offer to Lord Ram. So Tulsi is very important. And in our daily lives, Tulsi is given prominence because she's in the altar. She's here in the temple room while we're chanting. Why Tulsi? Why not a rose? Why not a freesia? Freesia's got a beautiful smell. Because there is something... Tulsi is feeding devotion. So this is the first verse in the Bhagavatam that particularly talks about Tulsi. She's also mentioned in the, a little later on, in this 15th chapter, on the 14th, in text number 43. She is described as, well, it's a very important aspect. Because what happens is that you're going to hear about this verse in a few weeks' time. Tajara vinda nayanasya padara vinda kinjalka mishra tulasi makaranda vayu. That King Kalja with the toes mixed with Tulasi leaves, the fragrance, the breeze. There's a breeze that went over the captured the fragrance of the Tulsi leaves that was on the feet of the lotus-eyed Lord. And what happened was the four Kumaras, they smelt that aroma and it changed them. They somehow or other, you come across that verse, so we'll be studying more detail. They had an affinity towards the impersonal aspect of the Lord. But when they smelt this, they became moved by it. So what I want to do now, I've got a little cup here of tulsis that have been offered to the feet of the Lord. So maybe you can pass it around and smell and absorb the devotional ecstasy just by smelling these leaves. Yeah, pass it around. For smelling, yeah, just smell the cup or smell the flowers. Somehow they're a little dry, but the scent, you have to, in your transcendental mind, absorb the beautiful aroma from the tulsi leaves. And so this is why it's important that they can, this plant can activate bhakti, activate devotional service. She's mentioned a number of times in the Bhagavatam, mentioned again twice here in this, three times in this particular chapter. She's also mentioned, let's see which ones I've got here. In the canto. I'll do a selection here. There's another one here. This is the 10th canto. And what happened is that the gopis are searching for Krishna. And when the younger brother of Ram walked by here, this is what the gopis are saying, followed by intoxicated bees swarming around the Tulasi Manjaris decorating his garland. Did he acknowledge your obeisances with his affectionate glances? So they're seeing Tulsi, and they know that Tulsi is connected to Lord Krishna. And Daruka, when the final pastimes of Krishna, he was looking for Krishna. Where was Krishna? And he followed the trail of the scent of Tulasi leaves. Ambarish Maharaj, he was engaged in the smelling the fragrance of the tulsi leaves. So just like you're doing now, this is how Ambarish Maharaj engaged his nostrils. Lord Balaram, he described that he as a Vijayanti garland of ever-fresh tulsi, of blossoms around his neck. So this is what's also been described here in this verse that we're looking at. Gande Riche Tulasi Kabare Natasya, that he has a garland. Tulsi is so important that it's around his neck. He's decorated. The Lord is decorated with tulsi. Now, these residents, they're pointing out that this is how important that she is. They're not envious of that. They're glorifying her for those attributes. And they're Sumanasa, good-minded. They have pure minds. And they're recognizing that Tulsi's austerity. Now, when you look at that word austerity, what could that mean? Why is Tulsi, what's her austerity? The word austerity, tapa, means fire. There's kind of an internal fire that is driving you on to do certain things. There's something that's stoking you inside. So generally, tapasya means there's some kind of austerity you're performing. But there's different ways you can look. I think you can look at this. One thing is that Tulsi has this burning desire. There, it's within her drive to just to serve the Lord. And that is a particular note. That's one way of looking at tapasya. Another way you could say, there's a pastime where Tulsi came into the material world and she wanted Vishnu as her husband. So she performed various tapasyas to obtain that. And that's written in one of the Puranas, which I'm not going to get into. But I think we take it that there is this tapasya. For example, when the devotees, they make choices to do devotional service, to chant or to read or to associate with devotees, there is a kind of inner resolve, an inner tapasya, that they're going to do this, even though there are other allurements around. So Tulsi is noted that she has that. And they're glorifying her. They're glorifying her. Like we say, there's that verse, Amanina Manidena Kirtanaya Sadahari, that we don't want to have any glorification for ourselves. We simply want to give glorification to others. So the Vaikuntha residents here, these flowers, they're giving their glorification to Tulsi. Tulsi plants and the leaves are very important in devotional service, is Srila Prabhupada's comment. Devotees are recommended to water the tulsi leaf every day and collect the leaves. And finally, I want to just go over the English translation of this prayer that we sing every morning. It is our, I think it is our most esoteric prayer that we recite every day. I'm not sure. Do we do it once a week where you actually go through the English? Okay. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Vrinda, Srimati Tulsi Devi, who is very dear to Lord Keshava. O goddess, you bestow devotional service to Lord Krishna and possess the highest truth. This is the science of Bhakti Yoga, that this plant, this Tulasi, she can, by service to her, you can get devotional service to Lord Krishna. O Tulsi, beloved of Krishna, I bow before you again and again. My desire is to obtain the shelter of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So it's a very direct prayer. You want to take the shelter of Radha and Krishna. Whoever takes shelter of you has his wishes fulfilled. Bestowing your mercy upon him, you make him a resident of Vrindavan. You want Radha Krishna. Well, if someone takes shelter of you, Tulasi Devi, you can fulfill that desire. And to help you fulfill that desire, you will make them actually live there in Vrindavan. My desire is that you will also grant me a residence in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Thus, within my vision, I will always behold the beautiful pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So now the next layer is, you're not only in Vrindavan, but you're in those groves, those little clumps of trees, where Krishna and Radharani are having very intimate interactions and pastimes. You can go there. You can see it directly. I beg you to make me a follower of the cowherd damsels of Raja. Please give me the privilege of devotional service and make me your own maidservant. So the prayer is that I want to be even more intimate. I want to follow in those cowherd damsels, those sakis. Interesting. It says Saki here, but he has been translated as cowherd damsels of Raja. Of course, they were all cowherd damsels. This very fallen and lowly servant of Krishna prays, may always swim in the love of Sri Sri Radha and Govinda. So this is a very earnest prayer that the devotees sing every day. And you can attain the highest levels of Krishna consciousness by meditating on this prayer and absorbing yourself in its yearning to get the association of Radha and Krishna. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Prabhu, do we have a microphone? Okay.
Gauranga, thank you very much. I was always wondering in regard of Tulasi, that why she so especially so dear to the Lord. I mean, I know that they say the expansion of Srimati Radharani, but then, for example, when you offer food, if you just offer Tulasi, Krishna runs to take this offering, not because of you, because of Tulasi. You know, even if you say her name or visualize, if you don't have Tulasi, still Krishna accepts the offering. And then, you know, that soil where she is planted contains all places of pilgrimage within the universe, or if you bathe, put few drops on her leaf, it's like making abhishek of all deities in universe. Or if you touch her manjaris and your head, you receive the knowledge of all Vedas. And then I don't know any pastimes. Might be some reason why is Tulasi so. Sometimes I'm thinking she's more dear than Srimati Radha. Radharani to Krishna, like must be some special. He's mentioning here austerities she performed, but I don't know. Do you know anything like why? Show? I never read this book. Maybe I should. Maybe he's mentioned Tulasi Manjari. Why so? Has a special position.
I can't. I don't think that. All just here in the Bhagavatam itself, talking about Vaikuntha, she's special. She's not just special in the universe, she's special in Vaikuntha also. She has a special categorization. Why? That's the variegatedness of the spiritual world.
I understand, like, probably because she's expansion of Srimati Radharani, but then all gopis are her expansion, and all women, everybody is expansion of Srimati Radharani. But then must be something special there, like... in Vrindavan.
Well, no, it's not mentioned. That's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, by the way. that's more esoteric stories we hear. But in terms of the Bhagavatam, she's just this is a standalone special flower. Why? Why is the mandara there? Why is that flower mentioned? Why is a rose not mentioned? We can say these things also. Oh. But somehow there's certain special characteristics. Part of the variegatedness, there is full of variety. And some residents there, they have extraordinary characteristics, and Tulsi is one of those.
I have to dig in and try to. Okay. Some pulling me, like, you know, why so special? Like, you know, it makes you. I don't know, I just have to dwell and try to find like something about it. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.